After hearing Sam and Gretchen's testimonies of how God, through Oikos, has renewed their minds and changed their lives, do you still think Oikos is a social club? That all we do in Oikos is have fun, chill out, you know, no structure, just, you know, make friends? And I do agree that Oikos is a place that you can make friends. In fact, I have made a lot of life-lasting relationships and friendships with a lot of my Oikos members. But I really don't think Oikos is a social club. Oikos, in fact, means family. Oikos is a Greek word that means family or a family household, the dwelling place of a family. You might feel awkward and out of place when you attend a social group, but in Oikos, you're going back to your spiritual family, and you belong. You're dwelling in your own spiritual home. You will feel safe and accepted. And a social club might meet every month, maybe every other week, or maybe you'll only go when you feel like it, when your friends are there, or when you don't have exams or other commitments. But Oikos is a family. Family is different from a social club. Families stick together. And you see each other regularly. You put efforts to do that. I have many siblings. Most of them are married and have kids. But we make efforts to still come together as a large family, and we have family dinners every week. But some of you might think, but isn't weekly Oikos so much? That's 52 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have time for that. I have school, I have volunteers, I have work, you know, I need to date. You know what I mean? There's so many things that I need to do. I don't have time. But why don't we look into what the Bible says in Acts 2, 46 to 47. So after Jesus was crucified on the cross, he came back to life in 3 days, and he appeared to his disciples. And Jesus commanded them, hey, I'm gonna ascend, but you guys wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they obeyed, and they waited in the upper room. They received the Holy Spirit, and full of powers, they start preaching. And you know what? When they preach, a lot of people became followers of Christ. They accepted Christ. They accepted the gospel. And so Acts 2 is known as a record of how the early Christians lived and how they became a church. And in verse 46 to 47, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Do you hear how often they met? What's the answer? Day by day. Day by day in Greek is himeren, means a day. A day is a period from sunrise to sunset. And in Jesus' times, if you follow someone, like a rabbi, a Jewish leader, it's a big thing. You actually leave behind your parents and your family, and you go and follow, as in you live with your rabbi. Whatever your rabbi eats, you eat. Wherever your rabbi sleeps, that's where you sleep too. And whatever your rabbi does, you try to follow along. Because your goal is to be like your rabbi, and later to be a rabbi to someone else. So when you spend years with the rabbi as a disciple, you observe, you watch, you imitate, you ask questions, and you learn through day-to-day conversations with your rabbi. And even though by the time the disciples were gathering in Acts 2, Jesus was not there anymore, but I'm pretty sure the new disciples watched Peter, they watched John, Matthew, or James, and they tried to imitate. From sunrise to sunset, the new disciples watched and observed, like children watching their parents, actively and passively learning the way to be a disciple of Jesus. How are we supposed to pray? Well, let's watch Peter. How are we supposed to live as Christian? I don't know, Peter and John would show us. How do we give thanks? How do we face struggles? Well, let's watch the previous disciples. And like siblings, they gather daily and share generously with one another. Do you need help with babysitting? I can help. Do you feel sad? Well, let's go out for a walk. Do you feel tempted and distracted? well, I can keep you accountable. So oikos is not a social club. You don't get that kind of brotherly and sisterly love and support at a social club. But you can experience brotherly and sisterly love in oikos because oikos is a family. Oikos is where you're accepted and we belong in the family. Oikos is also learning the family legacy. We might not meet up every day like the early Christians did, but when we do meet up, we are intentional to be more like Christ. And a lot of people might think also, well, isn't oikos really just, you know, a nicer name for a Sunday school or like a Bible study that we're just here for just head knowledge and we're just reading the Bible and trying to translate and download and dump in our head? I want to say, true Bible study actually requires you to understand the text and practice the text. But even then, I want to be clear that oikos is not Sunday school and oikos is not Bible study. Oikos is a discipleship training small group. Oikos emphasizes on training us to be disciples who can make more disciples. Just like how back then you follow a rabbi to be a rabbi who makes more rabbis. Oikos trains us to be more like Jesus so you can train others to be more like Jesus. And why do we put so much emphasis on being disciple makers? Well, it comes from the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. After Jesus has resurrected, he stayed with his disciples for a little while, and before he ascended, he gave out this Great Commission. It was a commandment. It was a command. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." When Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples, Jesus was not selective who gets to follow this Great Commission. You know what, Peter? I like you. You're outspoken. You go make disciples. John, I think you're an introvert. Yeah, why don't you just write letters to people? And Thomas, you doubt too much. You just stay behind the scene. Don't worry about anything. No, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Jesus promised that we're making disciples with his authority, the authority that is the same authority that Jesus has in heaven and on earth. And how does Jesus describe the process of making disciples? It's to baptize them, teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded them. Jesus asks of his followers, anyone who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, to teach others to observe all that he has commanded. In Greek, to observe is to obey, to keep, to guard, is the word tirin. And you obey by guarding, keeping as if you're like a prison guard. You're detaining that information, that truth, so that it never escapes. That is to obey. That is to guard. It's to detain. Don't let it escape from you, from your life. And that's how we are to treat Jesus' teaching, to guard it and not let his word and commands escape from our lives. We don't just keep it for a week. Oh, the sermon was last week, so I practice it. Now is another sermon, so I'm going to practice another thing. No, it's an hour to hour, day to day, constantly guarding the truth and learning to walk in it. And as we're doing that, we're also then walking alongside with another to teach them to do the same. And in oikos, we learned to do all that. Oikos is a discipleship training small group. You learn how to be Jesus' disciples, and you learn to obey his commands and show others how to follow Jesus' commands. And oikos is starting next week. If you agree to treat oikos as a family, how would that look like from week to week? Allow me to give some pointers, or you can call it challenges, if you like to be challenged. And I even divided them in 5 levels based on the difficulty. Level 1, if you see Oikos as family, could you come regularly? Oikos is not a social club. You don't just show up to a family gathering whenever you feel like it. If you say, I'm committed to this family, you show up to the family gathering and you show up on time. You put effort to move things aside to come. Level 2, if you see Oikos as a family, could you say hi to at least one person you don't really know? I have a niece and a nephew, and they know that when they come over, they're to say hi to every single person, grandma, grandpa, Auntie Vivian, and everyone in the house, because that's how they're taught. That's what families do. We welcome each other, we're accepted and we belong, and we want to make sure that everyone knows they're welcome in Oikos. So pick a person. Next week, September 12th, pick one person in Oikos and say, hi, it's good to see you at Oikos tonight. Level 3, if you see Oikos as family, could you ask how they're doing? Like maybe go a step further and ask how their relationship is with Jesus. I don't know about your family, but during dinner time, that's where we get all the updates. How was school? How was work? Same thing with Oikos. It's a time for updates. It's a time where we get to know each other more and support each other and check up on each other. So if my family, a family that is secular, because half of my family are non-Christian and half of them are, and even we know to check in on each other, how much more for a spiritual family to do that? Level 4, if you agree Oikos is family, can you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Like when you ask them how they're doing and they share, you're like, you know what? I'm not doing great. Can you actually stop at that moment and pray for them? Lift them up, build them up with prayers. Level 5, and if Oikos is family, then could you keep each other accountable? When my sister knew I wanted to lose weight, it's been a goal my whole life, and my sister used to buy me a lot of snacks. It was the thing, like Vivian loves snacks. I'm gonna buy her a lot of snacks. But the moment I told her, I'm like, you know what? I think it's time I need to lose weight. Guess what? She kept me accountable. Number 1, she stopped buying me snacks. 2, she always asked me, how's my exercise? How are things? How am I feeling? That is accountability. So again, if my secular family can do that, how much more would a spiritual family do that we can keep each other accountable? When someone said they want to do something, can you actually check in and make sure they follow through? Like, I'm guessing, like a Monday morning, you can send each other a text, just one text, and said, hey, I still remember what you said last Saturday or last Wednesday. How are you doing? Is there anything we can pray for? Want to do devotions together? Want to do a quick call and pray for each other? And how about if we truly see Oikos as discipleship training? How would that look like from week to week this year for you, starting in September? Again, I have some challenges for you, level 1 to 5, depending on the difficulty. Level 1, I think we really need to reset our mind and know that Oikos is a discipleship training ground. Oikos is where we learn to be a disciple of Jesus and learn how to teach others to do the same. So don't choose your Oikos program. Oh, it's prayer night. Oh, you know what? I can't pray out loud. I'm not going to come tonight. Oh, my friend's birthday party. Oh, you know what? FOMO. I have to go. You know, like, I have to go. I'm going to miss out. Or, oh, you know what? I have an exam on Monday, but I'm really busy because I have a party to go to on Sunday, so I'm going to miss out on Oikos Saturday. Oikos is discipleship training, so it's like being soldiers. Have you seen a soldier miss a class? Have you ever seen a soldier being late in camp? Do you know what happens to them? They will probably end up running laps around the field until they're dropped dead tired, because the commanders know how detrimental it is to miss. Missing out an important lesson or survival skills. So when you miss Oikos multiple weeks, you're missing the opportunity to sharpen your spiritual skills and the opportunity to walk as comrades with your brothers and sisters. Level two, can you start doing devotions and pray regularly? To be able to train someone to obey all the commands of Jesus means to be first, be the person who obey all the commands of Jesus. How can you teach others when you don't do it yourself? Walk the talk. So you first need to know who Jesus is and have that personal relationship and start observing, obeying, guarding his teaching in your life. Level three, if you see oikos as a discipleship training, could you pray regularly and do devotions with others in oikos? I know it's great to have like personal time with God, that one-on-one conversations, but I sometimes think when you do devotions and pray with others, it's like 1 + 1 = 3. Through community, you might be able to see and hear things you haven't learned before. We all have our blind sides, but brothers and sisters in Christ can help you identify them. Level four, if you agree that oikos is discipleship training, could you be brave and honest and share your struggles with your oikos and find yourself an accountability partner? I put this as level four because I know it's hard to be vulnerable. No one likes showing their scars, their weaknesses with each other. I don't either. But trust me, when you do open up to one another, it is very freeing. Last year in Young Adults Oikos, we actually had a night called Confession Night, where we were put in little small groups, and we confessed all our sins to each other. Things that we don't want to share with anyone. The dark sins, the lustful sins, but we actually name them out loud to each other and describe all of them to each other. I don't know about you. I think the YA Oikos members who did that night, we all left Oikos knowing that the chains of guilt and the chains of shame no longer can tether us down. We have brothers and sisters who can walk with us. Last level, level five. If you agree that Oikos is a discipleship training ground, I want to extend this challenge specifically to Oikos leaders and those training to be Oikos leaders, like the Oikos students. That's several of you, right? 11, hopefully 12. When someone shares their struggles with you, could you pray with them regularly? Check in on them regularly and do devotions with them regularly. We're called to teach others to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. So please walk with your brothers and sisters who are struggling, who needs a companion to walk with. So remember, Oikos is family. Some families are all doctors. Some families are lineage of lawyers. Our Oikos family, we are disciple makers. We are disciple makers. That's our family. That's our family legacy. And Oikos is discipleship training. And for those who aren't in Oikos yet, maybe you're worried about commitment. You're like, oh my goodness, that seems like a lot. Or you're worried about your rides. Wednesday night or Saturday night gets a little difficult. Or you don't have time to do your devotions. Or, do your homework or study for exams. And maybe you're like Gretchen and you worry about not fitting in. But do you hear what happens to Gretchen? What happened to Sam afterwards? Do you want to also taste what they've tasted? So come. Come register. We've been praying for you to register. And come and see how God will speak to you and how the Holy Spirit will mold you through Oikos. You've heard Gretchen's testimony. You have heard Sam's testimony. Can I share about my own testimony about Oikos? Ever since I was, I think I started going to church when I was 8 or 9 years old. Later, I accepted Christ a year or two after that. But it was not until I joined the small group camp. It was an English camp. And I remember the pastor who was preaching at that time demonstrated what it was like to be crucified on the cross. And I realized how much Jesus loves me. And from then on, I decided to dedicate my life to Jesus when I was grade 9. But I soon realized how difficult it was to commit yourself as a high school student, as a Christian. I attended public school. Being public school, grade 9, Christian, every day I face homework and exams pressure, pressure to fit in, pressure to do well, pressure to grow up as a responsible adult eventually by my parents, pressure to date. By grade 9, majority of my friends are dating already, and also dealing with my parents and their house rules, very Asian rules that I didn't like as a Canadian, and sibling problems are real. And later on, university applications were so complicated and difficult. Life is crazy sometimes. But do you know what pulled me through all these transitions and stage? Was having committed brothers and sisters from small groups who check in on me. I still remember there was time where I'm like, I don't know if I want to be a Christian anymore. This is too difficult. There's too many no's and don'ts. A sister randomly texted me. She didn't know I was struggling. I didn't tell it with anyone. I remember receiving a text and said, hey, I don't know how you're feeling, but I just want to pray for you. That prayer made me cry because I know someone cared for me. And I know that it's not easy, but we have families, brothers and sisters who care for one another to help us go through this journey. And I, to this day, as a YA in YA Oikos, I have awesome brothers and sisters who will meet up one-on-one where we could go for lunch, have dinner, share our struggles, do devotions, pray. So to be honest, Oikos is not really a family. Oikos is not just a discipleship training. For me, Oikos is my refuge, my haven. It's where I can breathe, recharge, reconnect with my spiritual family, and gain the encouragement and strength to face the issues of life that we face every day. May I ask all of you to stand and pray with me. But before I pray, could you keep your eyes closed? And I'll let you meditate on tonight's message. I want to let you know that Jesus is in the room right now. He's sitting beside you or standing beside you. What is Jesus specifically telling you tonight? What is he saying? What is affirming for you? What is he convicting of you? What is he encouraging you to be or to do? Jesus is in the room. He wants to talk to you. What is Jesus specifically telling you tonight? Let's pray. Abba, Father, you're before all things, and Jesus, you hold all things together. So Lord Almighty, uphold us. When we feel like we're falling away from you, uphold us with your righteous right hand. Draw us near. When we forget who we are, remind us that we are yours, your children and co-heirs of Jesus. We are a family. And when we forget your commands to obey all that Jesus had commanded us, could you please forgive us? You rebuke and discipline those you love. Help us to repent and come back to your words. And may we encourage one another to do the same. Help us, Lord. And whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, help us to think about such things. May we guard your word in our hearts. In Jesus' most powerful and faithful name, we pray. Amen.